This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This podcast is a little different. It comes to you out of a Land Cruiser as we were moving between Maun, Botswana, and a concession called NG41, which is called Mababi. And I was driving with one of the concession joint venture owners, Johan Karlitz, and a scientist out of Botswana called Christian Winterbach. And I just wanted to have an initial conversation between Johan and Christian just to talk through wildlife, wildlife conservation, sustainable hunting, perspectives, perceptions, any science tied to wildlife conservation and hunting in Botswana. And it's a fascinating, fascinating conversation. Christian specifically brings some data and science and insight to the table that I think is fascinating. And you hear from Johan on the ground of what's happening or what he's seen over the last couple of years as it pertains to NG41 and the greater hunting collective that's occurring here in Botswana. So enjoy.
So there's a reason why I started Blood Origins. And that reason is simple. Is that I wanted to convey the truth about hunting.
It brings awareness to non-hunters that it's more than just killing animals.
How do I start it? Brittany.
My name.
Does my hair look okay?
It's fantastic.
My name is Mike Axelrod.
Start again.
Yeah, I hated it too.
Braxton, you said something in the car to me. You said that you were living on borrowed time. Hmm.
There's a perception around who hunters are, what we're supposed to be, and a feminist that works for a non-profit that is a hunter that has only eaten wild game for the last 20 years is likely not the thing that people think about when it comes to a hunter. So Garokwe is an ecotourism photographic place.
Yeah, that's correct. For years, it was a hunting area. And when the lease ran out for that 15 years, they changed it into photographic areas. It's three different zones where ours is exclusive. And then there's a zone number three, which is not exclusive. And then there's zone number one that are just around the communities, about the villages and stuff like that.
So it used to be hunting?
It used to be hunting. We hunted there up until 2013.
And so why did it converted? Because of the ban in 2014?
Partly because of the ban, but also because the whole delta was declared a Ramsar site.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's partly the reason. And Christian, you must help. You can hear what we say.
I can hear what you say by paying attention.
So That's a photographic place. Everything's there, Big Five?
There was the Big Five. Then the rhino.
Oh, no rhinos left. They were poached out, right?
Yeah. They were poached badly. And then, you know, the director and our president reckoned it would be better to dart them and move them to a farm in Gansi.
Okay.
Gansi is about 400 kilometers from here. Right behind us.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So this place here, right, for in terms of wildlife conservation in Botswana, for ecotourism and hunting?
Yes. Like, for example, now where we go to now on NG41, there's ecotourism and there's hunting. And that have been like that for the last 23 years.
Is it the longest? Correct me if I'm wrong here. NG41 is the longest standing community concession in Botswana?
Actually, NG32 is.
Okay.
That's the one on the left here.
That's the ecotourism?
Yeah, that was hunting and ecotourism. I had three zones there.
Okay.
Okay, the middle zone.
And when did you start there?
I started there, Christian was 96 or 95, 96.
What was happening before 95, 96, Johan?
They didn't hunt there at all.
But was there an ecotourism operator in there?
No, nobody.
There was nothing?
There. Nothing in there.
Nothing there?
Yeah.
Hold on 2 seconds. We're going to have to give you a headset. Get a headset out of that bag right there. Because Christian's going to want to chime in here all the time. And people are going to be like, Robbie, why don't you give him a bloody headset, man? Shit. Okay. Let's do this. Let's organize it. Just grab a headset. Stick it on your head, Christian.
Christian, can you just see whether the guys are behind us? I see one cruiser.
They're both there. I can see both.
Okay.
Yeah. Slots boys and whatnot. Whilst we're waiting for Christian to pull another headset out there. Johan Carlitz, why don't you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Johan Carlitz. I am a professional hunter in Botswana for many, many, many years. But I also do both part of the tourism industry, which is the consumptive and the non-consumptive. And understand both parts quite well.
And we're about to get Christian on the online right here.
I can hear you.
You can hear me? I can't hear you though. Let me see if I can. I need to probably stop recording and then stop. All right, now can you hear us now?
I can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly.
Okay, good.
And just to give everyone context, right now we're driving. We just left the tarmac. We're on a dirt road. We're on the dirt road for the next 2 hours, right? 2:15. And we're heading north from Maun. Maun is not the capital of Botswana. Gaborone is the capital, right?
That's correct, yes. Mm.
But Maun's the closest destination to the delta, probably most of the ecotourism and hunting operations in Botswana. Would you say that's correct?
That's correct. There's little in Kasani, but this is the biggest hub for photo tourism and hunting flying into Maun Airport.
Yeah. Christian, you want to introduce yourself now that we've got you hooked up?
I'm Christian Winterbach, a wildlife researcher, and I've been working in northern Botswana for more than 25 years.
Dr. Winterbach, right?
Yes, for formal occasions.
Yeah, my undergraduates called me Dr. Kroger. And the cameraman, I tell the cameraman, they have to call me Dr. Kroger or Professor.
I have a friend that likes to call me Dr. Leodrol.
Johan, let me ask, and currently today, Christian, what do you do as a day job?
Couple of different things. One of them is maintaining some long-term monitoring in two concessions, one of them the Mababe area and one to the south of that.
Okay.
And also working with Johan, with the Mababe community, and then doing some consulting work relating to tourism every now and then to pay the bills.
Gotcha. Johan, let me ask this question, and probably most, maybe, you know, I like to hit hard with hard questions and controversial questions. You're in the ecotourism and hunting business. What generates more revenue for communities from your business perspective, or maybe even writ large here in Botswana?
That's a very, very good question. Okay, in the past, it was hunting, because you would have, for example, AG32, and 75% of the whole block was hunting. So the benefits of the meat, the benefit of the price of the elephants, the quota, all benefited hunting or the community more than photographic. But now what they do lately is they cut the block up in, you know, let's say four or five different zones.
Okay.
And then they charge high prices, like 4 million pula annually.
Well, who's charging 4 million pula?
The government.
They're charging 4 million pula for what?
For the right to have a photographic area and do photographic excursions there.
So that's the concession fee.
That's the concession fee, and then the government also get resource royalties from that photographic camp.
Does that photographic camp need to give a percentage of its revenue back to the community?
Well, directly the lease go to the community. So that 4 million pula goes to the community.
Okay, it goes to a trust, I assume, or something like that.
It goes to a trust, yes. Okay. So let's say, for example, in this case, in NG32, if you have four zones, then basically four zones each have to give that money to the community for rental.
You have two types of concession areas.
Okay.
You have commercial concession areas, where the money goes to the regional land board, which is basically regional government. And then you have the community-based concession areas, where the concession fees are going directly to the community, plus all the jobs at the lodges in the area.
Okay. So what would be a so you said the 4 million pool, is that the concession fee for NG32?
Annually, yes.
Annually.
For one zone. So if there's
how many zones in NG32?
Okay, at this moment there's four zones there.
Do you run all four zones?
No, sir. I did in the past. I did run all. But now they've given it to four different operators.
Okay. So let's switch to NG41. NG41, you've got all the zones in NG41?
I had all the zones.
Okay.
Presently, none of the new leases are signed. So legally, you can still hunt the whole area except zone
two. Right.
That's the only one you cannot hunt.
So with the new leases, what is it going to look like?
Okay, with the new leases, there's going to be zone one, which is the community area. Some activities will be done there. Then we've got zone two, which is a photographic area. And
no hunting allowed.
No hunting allowed there at all.
Nor would you want hunting, right?
No, nor would we want hunting there. But sadly, the guy that did the management plan, let's say the scientist or researcher or whatever, he didn't see the area from somebody that's been there for 22 or 23 years. He's seen the area as a theoretical thing from his desk, and he messed a lot of things up, because in that zone two, which should have been you know, a exclusive area. He allowed 18 vehicles from the trust to drive around there, and they pay no lease to that zone at all. Christian, can you go in there a little bit?
But Christian, the question to you though,
yes.
Should the trust have to pay? Because it's essentially their community, their land, right?
Okay, how it's working is that the zone has been dedicated as a photographic zone with multiple users.
Okay.
So you have the photographic lodge that's paying a lease fee.
Okay.
And then you have the community campsites, and they have allocated a total of 22 vehicles to that zone to do game viewer vehicles, so no self-drive tourism.
So like someone like me could go from Mount, drive myself in my four-wheel drive, I could get a campsite, is what you're saying?
Yes.
And then I could pay for a game drive?
Yes.
Through the community, but I could also, you know, buy a game drive through yours, Johan, right?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a lot of things happening with big question marks currently. So there's operators that now have been allocated some of these campsites and some of the vehicles, and the wheeling and dealing involved there is not currently very clear.
Gotcha. So zone one community, zone two photographics, and then there's two other zones, I think you said?
Yeah, zone three again is photographics, and then zone four is consumptive.
Yeah. And zone three is exclusive use, so it's only the lodge there.
Gotcha. Is there, so NG41, there's enough abundant wildlife to support, you know, two zones essentially of photographics? And there's enough demand for it?
Well, it's exclusive. Zone 3 will be
exclusive. Right.
Exclusive use. It will be a 4-5-star lodge.
Gotcha.
People is going to pay quite a lot of money, up to $2,500 per person per day to overnight per person. And it will be only they that pay that money that will be allowed to see the wildlife in that zone.
Yeah.
So of course the wildlife in that zone is by far one of the best
wildlife areas in 41.
Well, in Africa.
Okay.
It's just unbelievable, Christian. You can say a little bit about what happened with the research in the filming last year and stuff like that.
Yeah, we have the Mababe Depression, which is a wetland area, and historically it dried up, it was only receiving water for short durations, but then in 2007 the water started flowing from the Kwai River into the depression and formed this big wetland, which is the only water available between us and the Kwando, the Nyanti, Chobe River system.
Oh, really?
In the north, yes.
Jeez.
Apart from boreholes that's pumped at Savuti. You go east to the Zimbabwe border, which is over 300 kilometers, there's no permanent water there. And the other permanent water is the Okavango Delta itself. So during the dry season, you have all the animals that are water dependent.
All right, we're back to recording. So I have no idea where we ended up that conversation.
With Christian.
Okay, should I start again with
I'll start again
potential?
With the tourism potential, yeah.
Okay, right. When you're looking at photographic tourism versus hunting, in Botswana you do need to look at what is the potential for photographic tourism. the northern Botswana, going in and out.
Who you are?
Something. Okay, there's back.
Yeah, there you are.
Okay. So, the northern conservation zone in Botswana consists of Chobe National Park, Murembe Game Reserve, Naipan and Makadikadi National Parks, and then
Mbabi.
Well, concession areas like Mbabi. And all these areas do not have the same potential to do photographic tourism.
Because of?
There are
diversity and density of wildlife, right?
Diversity and density. And I did this analysis when they started talking about closing hunting. And we knew that the photographic companies said they're not interested in some of these areas because there's not enough wildlife there for them to do tourism.
So the photo operators themselves of Botswana said, no, we're not going into that area. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to put any money on the ground. We're not going to do anything because the wildlife wasn't good enough.
Yes. Well, can I just jump in there? Okay. Mr. Derek Dubé said that every single hunting area...
This is 2014 when the ban was put in place, right?
Yes. Right. That every single hunting area will turn into a photographic area. And he also said that they will employ all the staff that have worked in the hunting areas in their photographic areas. And that never happened.
But some areas did convert over to ecotourism, right?
Well, the good areas.
The good areas.
Like NG32.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, in contrast to that area, CT2 that Johan had, was tendered 3 times for photographics and without success.
3 times. CT2 was put up 3 times.
Yes. Yeah.
What is it today?
Hunting. Now, hunting again, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so...
And the reason it was tendered 3 times is because nobody was interested in... putting up the concession fee.
And yeah, and the quality of the tenders submitted wasn't good enough.
Okay.
Okay, so my question was, can I quantify this difference that people think there are? And can we use that as a tool for planning?
What are we coming up to here?
This is the buffalo fence.
So this is the foot and mouth disease.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Stop.
Stop.
Stop area.
Yeah.
So cattle on this side.
Cattle on this side.
No livestock on that side.
No livestock on that side. If livestock go over, they get shot.
Gotcha. Okay. And it's a double fence, it looks like.
It's a double fence, yes. You can see it here perfectly.
Yeah.
So the idea is that they don't have direct contact between inside and outside, but the elephants make that quite problematic
because they'll just walk through that fence.
Yeah, they destroy it. Okay, so I took the aerial survey data, and for this whole northern conservation zone, which is 76,000 square kilometers,
okay,
times 2.2 if you want acres, it's massive. So I calculated from the aerial survey data, the species diversity and also the biomass of wildlife in each grid square, and took an average for 4 different surveys to get what is the potential. For photographics. And based on that, I could divide it into 3 categories. High potential, intermediate, and low.
Mm-hmm.
So of that 76,000 square kilometers, 78% has a low potential for photographic safaris.
Huh.
The other 22% has intermediate to high potential. And if you look on the map, that is where all the photographic lodges are sitting, is in these top areas.
These top areas, right.
Yes. And then I used the monitoring ground transects that we've done in four different areas, two low potential areas and two high potential areas, and calculated from that, if you go on a 3-hour game drive, what do you expect to see?
Mm.
So if you go in a good area like the Covango Delta, you would expect to see 10 to 12 different species of mammals on a 3-hour game drive. And you expect to have a sighting on average every 6 minutes.
Okay.
You're also doing this in a scenic and diverse environment.
It's a beautiful environment.
Beautiful,
right?
Environment.
Not this thick bush, thick Mopani scrub.
Yes. You go out to the low potential areas like where we're currently driving. You're looking at long stretches of Mopani woodland or shrubs on the more clay soils. And mm-hmm. on the other soils, you have a lot of silverleaf terminalia.
Yeah, Terminalia cerasea.
Yes.
How's that, huh?
Yeah.
Look at that, that's remembering.
Good. That's damn good. Just while we've got this little break now. Okay. Now, there's three photographic camps. There's going to be four with the one of Chief Tawana on the Gomoti River.
Okay.
And the Gomoti River is the only place where there's water. So from the Gomoti River, for 30 or 40 kilometers all the way to the north, nothing is happening.
Nothing.
Nothing. Mm. Not a single thing. Look here.
Yes. Yeah. So if you go on a game drive in these low potential areas, you expect to have a sighting every 30 minutes instead of every 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And which means you have about 5 sightings on a 3-hour game drive. And those 5 sightings is...
Well, likely the same animal or two or three species?
And the species is going to be consisting of either... Probably going to have about 3 elephant sightings, bulls.
Okay.
And the other 2 sightings will be either steenbok, kudu, or giraffe. That's the things that you are most likely to see.
Okay.
And then you're doing it in a not so scenic environment. As one guy said, it's MBA country.
What's MBA?
Miles of Bloody Africa. And this whole thing is driven by the availability of perennial water for the water-dependent species. So in northern Botswana, we have perennial water in the Okavango Delta.
Yep.
We have it along the river Kwando, Linyanti, Chobe River system.
Okay.
And when the Kwai River started flowing permanently in 2007, it formed a wetland in the Mababi Depression that's been there now without drying up again.
Mm.
So that is the main water sources. So from the Mababi to the Kwando River, it's 120 to 150 kilometers. To the delta, you can follow the Kwai River back into the delta, but in some directions it's about 30 to 40 kilometers. And if you go east, you go all the way to the Zimbabwe border, that is over 300 kilometers from us, without getting any perennial water.
So let's just expand that a little bit, right? So what's the concession to the east of NG41? And assuming, again, just to set the scene here for me in my brain, NG41 is Mababi.
Yes.
NG41 has, you know, as you've just described, Krishna and Johan, one of the ecotourism areas, photographic ecotourism areas in Botswana that doesn't need hunting. There is a vast majority of NG41, though, that does not... hold the same diversity and density of animals, but I'm just going to assume for now that NG41 is a photographic area. We know it's not, but I just want to just set the scene.
Yes.
So the concession to the east is what?
NG 42.
NG 42.
Yes.
Yeah, it's called Masami, and it was also one of our concessions. Now it's a passage, a buffer zone between the Chobe and the other game reserve, Christian, I forgot it.
It's part of the Chobe is to the north and Naipan is to the south.
To the south.
So there's in NG 42 there's no hunting now.
No hunting, and then next one is Jeff. No hunting.
Jeff.
Jeff Rand. No hunting.
There's no hunting on his concession.
No hunting in his concession. And then it goes to the tar road to CT2, there's hunting.
So in a concession like NG42, and I want to explore this concession. It has been designated by the Botswanan government as a non-consumptive use, a non-nothing use block, right?
Correct, yes.
No wildlife, no livestock allowed in it either?
No.
No,
Okay, so I'm just setting I'm setting the stage here. No livestock.
No livestock. It's a wild dedicated to wildlife.
Plenty elephants.
Plenty elephants.
So the communities that live in these areas really, if they do put maize on the ground, try and grow some sort of crop, they're fighting elephants.
There's no community from this road. 300 kilometers onwards.
Not even a community in there because they know it's just impossible.
Impossible. Yes. Impossible.
It's
so really it's an area that even if there was hunting, it wouldn't really benefit anyone.
No.
Except, and again, I'm going to set, I want to be completely unbiased here. Yeah. Except a hunting outfitter that could make a profit.
And provide jobs.
And provide jobs.
And government.
Okay.
Because the lease fees for that's a state land concession, so the lease fees for that go straight to Department of Lands, which is part of government, and it goes into the government coffers.
Okay. They would, and you know, has NG42 ever been hunted?
Yes, we hunted it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to when you hunted it. How many people would you have employed at NG42?
In NG42, we would have employed probably about 22 people. We established water holes from the northern to the southern boundary and maintained those water holes. And the quality of game has just become unbelievable. Buffalo stayed year-round, elephant stayed year-round.
Because you had provided water.
That's correct.
Okay.
So it was a damn good hunting area. Right now, all that infrastructure that we put in was not utilized by government. None. No water there in that whole area.
But that's normal.
That's normal.
That's normal, right? Yeah, that would have been normal. Yeah. If you guys killed a buffalo and an elephant in that area, what would you have done with the meat back then, since there's no community there?
Yeah, we utilized the meat, everything, for the hunting camp.
Yeah.
And then we dry the meat and take them into the town and then give our staff that were working for us.
Can you sell game meat here in Botswana?
You can.
Okay.
You can, You can... But it has to be dried to go through that fence there.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. So there are areas in the marginal lands here in Botswana that have no people. And as we've just said, they have no people because there's no livestock allowed.
No livestock.
Too many elephants to even grow, be subsistence living. And so there's just no... And there's no water. That's the other thing. Right? You can't live where there's no water.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, and something that you shouldn't forget, because a lot of people assume that that's not good conservation land, but it's actually critical conservation land. In Africa, most of the parks were selected where there were very high wildlife numbers.
Mm-hmm.
which meant that you also had very high line numbers and spotted hyena numbers, which impacted, that is, the areas that cheetahs and wild dogs would avoid because of the competition with
the big cats.
So you, if you want to conserve the whole carnivore guild, you need a mosaic of high wildlife and low wildlife areas, so that you have refuge areas for these subordinate carnivores to use.
Yeah.
It's also part of key migration routes for zebra and wildebeest going to Makadikadi, and then going back to, up to the Chobe River. That's the one. It's a very, very long migration of over 300 kilometers. You have a migration going through these areas from the delta to Makadikadi and back for zebra.
Right.
So it's a very important conservation area. And it's also one of the very few large conservation areas left in Africa, which is making it a key area to maintain conservation. So yeah, it might not be good for photographic safaris. Even if you pump water and you build up the animal numbers, you're still driving through woodlands where you can't see more than 30 meters from the road. So you don't see the animals, even though they might be there.
Let me ask this. So when you were hunting in G42, Johan, how many elephants were you given by the government?
22. We started with very little. It was three or something in the beginning. Yeah, and in, you know, the
nine. Talking about elephants, there's elephant dung right there.
Yeah, yes. This is a very, very good corridor
We wouldn't be surprised if we saw an elephant, right?
Oh no, we will not be surprised.
We will be surprised if we don't see one.
Yeah, we'll be surprised if we don't see one.
Okay.
Look, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Broken branches.
Plenty of food, plenty of mapani.
Plenty of mapani. Look at the destruction.
Yeah. The so 22 elephants of a population in Botswana right now, you know, 130, we think.
Yes.
130,000.
Yeah, at least.
But NG42 doesn't need to be hunted. There's no community. Really, the only reason someone would hunt NG42, again, let's be honest here for a second. The only reason you would hunt NG42 was increasing money for the government. Increase, you know, a business model, economic business model for an outfitter. And
jobs.
And jobs. Yeah, and jobs. Mm. That's right. And jobs. Now let's just switch back to NG41 for a second. NG41 has the obviously phenomenal photographic tourism opportunity ability. But there's also a large portion of it that isn't, you know, it is the low potential, as you just described, that is able to hunt. One of the things that you spoke to me about, Johan, was the people. There's 220 households in Mbabi. The community lives in NG41. The meat, the protein that comes from hunting gets delivered to the villages. And again, these guys are living north of the buffalo fence, so there is no livestock. There is no protein. Are they allowed to have chickens?
Some of them will have chickens. There's a couple of dogs there, you know, but the chicken is just a chicken.
But so I'm just trying to figure out, like, where would they get protein? They would poach it out the bush, right? They'd poach it.
Okay, so relatively, where would they get protein? It's either they have money and the means to do a three-hour drive.
Yeah, they're not buying anything up there.
Exactly. They go into town. That's where they buy it.
Okay.
So it's not meaningful. For now, we have to ask the question: who is in the village?
Okay.
It's only the young people, the old people, and people that are not fond of working.
Okay.
Okay, because all the other people are working to look after their families.
So they're gone, they're working in the cities, they send stuff back, they send money back to the village.
That's correct. All they will work in our photographic camps or our hunting camps. That's where they will work in. So most of the young will work there. So what happened is when they closed hunting, there was no income. The poaching was horrendous. Horrendous. We have a movement, and between Kwai and Mbabi, they removed about 220 plus snares. We've got photos of lions that were snares, hyenas that were snares, wild dog that was snared.
Wow.
So,
because the protein source got cut off.
Yeah, that's it.
Have you seen that? Have you seen poaching come back down? Because you started hunting in 2018, right?
Yes. We can see it very, very, very clearly. They're still poaching. Like, for example, just last week, Christian, I haven't told you yet.
Yes.
Quibus and Kim Nixon were there.
Yes.
And those two guys from about Barbie Gate.
Mm.
They came driving in. They were talking there. And then about a half, they went into that, that road that goes back to Mbabi Gate that we made.
Yes.
And we heard a shot.
Mm.
Quibus jumped in the car, and he found their tracks where they stopped and where they wounded the buffalo cow, and he found the buffalo cow.
Ah. No. Yeah.
Okay, so poaching. Mm. Meat. Now I'm going to say something to you that's going to shock you. And of course, Christian will help me out here. One of the biggest problems we have in this country that will kill me for this is not the big game poaching, it's the meat poaching.
Mm-hmm. And but meat to sell or meat to feed their families?
To sell.
Because let's be honest here. Yeah. If it was meat to feed your families, would you have a problem with it?
No. I would do the same.
Yeah, we would all do the same.
Yeah. But it's for meat to sell. So it's one of the biggest trades here. It was fishing a while ago, and now it's back to meat poaching, and all gets smuggled to the cities.
Yeah.
Just a quick correction. The hunting reopened in 2021.
2021.
Yes.
Okay. So it was closed from 2014
till 2020. It was supposed to open in 2020, but COVID prevented.
That's right. I remember that now. I remember that now. So 7 years essentially it was closed.
Yes. Yeah. So from after they closed it, we could see how the animals started getting skittish and start running when they saw a vehicle.
Mm.
As the poaching pressure increased, and now it's starting to calm down, and you can approach the animals a lot better than
even in the photographic areas.
Especially in the photographic area, yes.
So it wasn't really discriminatory, right? It was they snared and poached everywhere.
Where it's the easiest. Okay, lost sound.
Yeah, no, I got him back.
Okay.
It's being poached badly still. Tico McNutt did the paper. When was that, Christian?
I think 2018.
Have you got the figure of what he said? How many animals is poached a year, approximately?
It is a staggering amount. I have the article. I'll find it for
you. Yeah, please send it.
Something like 19,000 animals in the Delta.
During when?
A year.
Oh, just generally.
Yeah.
Just generally.
Yeah.
Generally, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was a shocker. Nobody realized that there was that massive bushmeat trade going on inside Botswana.
Oh, wow. Huh. Yeah, you know, it's... You know, one of the things that I think we often as hunters and hunting community, we get a little wrapped around the axle on is that, you know, rah, 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 hunting, 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 hunting is the best. It has its place. But it's not the panacea.
Correct.
No, I mean, that, I think that is the example of Botswana is there are areas where photographics provide all the jobs, all the financial motivation to maintain it as the land use.
Financial motivation being the key point here.
Yes, yeah. And then you have these other areas that have low potential for photographics where hunting is the only way that you're going to have some economic activity.
Let's use the same terminology.
Yes.
Financial motivation.
Financial motivation.
Right.
And it was driven home for me when vets said to me, it was 3 years after the ban came in place, and he was in a meeting where they were talking about cattle and there were government veterinarians there and everything. And they actually started talking about CT2 and those areas, saying those areas are not used for anything. We should put cattle in there.
Huh.
So if you don't have at least some form
of... Is CT2 north of the buffalo fence?
Yes, and that is the one area that Johan had. That's the same one that was on tender.
So they were strongly considering moving the buffalo fence to put some sort of financial motivation on the land.
Well, that is was the implication of what they were saying.
Right.
And you look at the local person's perspective, there's all this massive chunk of land, and there's nothing happening there.
Sure.
And he wants to have more cattle to make
a
living.
Same thing as NG42, right?
Yeah. So to me, the question is not... To hunt or not to hunt, that's not the question. To me, the question is, what do we need to do to maintain wildlife as the primary land use? Some areas it's photographic.
Yeah, that's a great question. What do you need to do to maintain wildlife as the primary land use?
Yes. And that's one of the things is how you phrase the problem has a big influence on your outcomes.
Yeah.
And if people ask the question to hunt or not to hunt, they not addressing the long-term issue of conservation and maintaining ecosystems.
Which at the end of the day, I think this is, and this is where I think, you know, it's almost comical at times that you would say that hunting outfitters, maybe hunters is too strong a term, because I don't think, you know, a client coming to Botswana is very much interested in that wildlife conservation panacea, let's be honest. Right? But you, Johan, as you operate the area, are interested in that hunting, as that wildlife conservation panacea. You want to see more wildlife. You want to see healthy wildlife.
Correct.
The photographic people want the same thing.
Correct.
Even if they're anti-hunting.
Correct.
So we all want the same bloody thing.
Correct.
It's just making sure that every tool in the toolbox is available.
Exactly.
To achieve that outcome and that goal.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that is something that a lot of people don't even consider is, yes, hunting can impact on wildlife populations. But it's the one thing that's impacting
elephant tracks.
Yeah. It's the one potential impact that's the easiest to manage and prevent.
Huh.
There's a lot of other impacts that you can't control. Loss of land.
Yeah.
Changing of land use.
Right.
Conflict with people where they share the landscape. Those things is very difficult. Having some offtake that is sustainable is the easiest thing to get and to maintain and to help with conservation.
Yeah, and the amount of money that's brought in, again, you know this, and maybe this is a good question for you, Johan, if you've ever calculated it. Let's use NG41 as an example. How many tourists do you need in NG41 to make up the same amount of money that a hunter is spending in NG41?
You would need a full camp for 6 months of the year, chock and block, to make that same money.
So Namibia, they've done the calculation in Namibia, it's 77 to 1.
Wow.
77 ecotourists to the money that one hunter brings in.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Botswana will be slightly less.
Yeah, because you've got very expensive camps. Yeah.
Very expensive camps. But also you have a hunter or maybe two hunters sharing camp coming in, and they typically go on a two-week hunt.
Correct.
So you have two bodies driving around with one vehicle in an area. They're covering a lot of area, driving around. So for that same money...
I'll tell you what, that would be such an impressive infographic too. Let's take 2 weeks, two hunters. You, 2 weeks, two hunters, one Land Cruiser. How much money is generated by those two hunters? And then say, okay, 2 weeks, in the same period of time, how many tourists are in the same area with how many Land Cruisers going for how much money?
Yeah.
Correct. That's what you need to look at.
Yeah, we have the figures to be able to do that fairly quickly.
Yeah, well, NG41 would be the perfect one because it's hunting and ecotourism together.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's why we're going there.
Yeah.
Well, it's fascinating, and as you can still hear, we're still on a dirt road. Still going to go for another hour on a dirt road.
Okay, can you see how many photographic cars is around here?
So we did see that one. I did see that Land Rover drive by that was open top that had people in the back. Where were they coming from?
Okay, they were coming from a village from Sankuyu.
So they would have done a village experience.
Yeah, so to a villages, or it comes from a camp with... take them into the doctor or whatever.
Yeah. This is a transit road that goes from Mount to Sankuyu to Mababe to Kwai.
Okay.
So tourists use this as one access route into the northern parts of Muremi Game Reserve and the Kwai area. And where we came through the buffalo fence, the road split, and so we took the right hand side.
Oh, I saw that. The split, Muremi was to the left.
The left takes you to Southgate of Muremi.
Ah, gotcha.
So you can do a circle drive. If you continue on this road and go in a Northgate, you can drive back through the park road to back to Moan.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your hospitality, and I know we've only just started, but it's a fascinating area, and that's why we wanted to be here. We wanted to be able to tell the story unbiased, like this is what's happening here.
Unbiased. It's there's a, like Christian said, you know, there's a place for everything. I just think what we don't need is people that are sitting judging, but they have not been in this continent at all.
Right. Come see it.
Yeah, come and see us.
Come see it.
Come and see us. You know, normally when I get in, you know, at where we are with people, a party, and one or other time it comes out that I'm a hunter.
Yeah.
And then you get very few times negative, but when it's negative, it's people that doesn't know.
Yeah.
And...
And they're also emotional, right? Because you hunt elephants. It's an emotional thing.
That's correct.
Thing.
That's correct. But then I say to them, let me do this. And I will pay for everything. Come, we'll build you a mud hut in Mababe. And come and stay there for a year in between the elephants. And then we talk again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we talk
that's
again.
That's true.
The most extreme I had was when they were talking about closing down the hunting. A lady that said, that's very good, and we said to her, but there's a risk that you might lose this land going to livestock because there's no activity supporting wildlife as the land use. And the answer was, that's okay as long as there's no hunting. Correct. So she was willing to sacrifice
populations. She was willing to sacrifice wildlife.
Yeah.
She knew more wildlife was going to die. It was just the fact that we were removing the motivation of an individual to hunt.
Yeah.
Christian, if you think about this in a nutshell, if we take, we know that we approximately, what's that, 4,000 years here. I mean, from the Christian times.
Yes.
Okay, approximately. I don't know, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. But in the beginning, when there was humans on this earth, the tribe had to eat. So somebody had to go and get some meat, bring it to the tribe, so that the tribe can eat and can get schooled. So there were certain people that were good in schooling people. They sit all day long and they think. There's people that go and hunt or go to wars to save that tribe. What do you have today in the world? If you're one of those people that go to war, they don't like you anyway.
Mm.
Because you're a warrior. When you hunt, they don't like you anyway, because you kill. Okay, what do they do? All they do is sit and think about one object, and that is with a little puppy on a lap, going to the grocery store, buy a piece of meat, eat it, and doesn't have a fucking idea where it comes from. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got more people today that, I'm very sorry, that are useless. They don't have an idea.
Yeah.
They don't live the life we live. They don't live here with this people, what this people need.
Yeah.
Okay, now what the people say is, well, we didn't know hunting was going to come back. We would rather have hunting.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. Well, thank you, Johan. Thank you, Christian. I know it's not the last time we'll talk about this, but... Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate the hospitality. It's going to be great. Yeah.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. Just a quick fill in as well, talking about financial motivation to maintain wildlife. In Botswana's in the situation where about between 35 and 37% of the whole country is dedicated to wildlife as the land use.
How much percentage?
Between 35 and 37%. So it's more than a third of the country is dedicated to wildlife.
Gotcha.
And conservation. And no country can afford to have 35% of the country being not economically active.
Just there because wildlife is good.
Yes.
It would be great.
It would be great, but it's
not realistic. That's not reality. Yeah. Exactly. It's not reality. It's a good point. It's a good point. Thanks, Christian.
Good.
Well, that's it for today. I appreciate you listening, as always. Leave a review, share it with your friends, and most importantly, do what's right to convey the truth around hunting.